WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan along with Ed Sullivan and Mike Kramer. Boy, one got away in Chapel Hill. The Irish drop a heartbreaker. A lot of controversy at the end. Am I the only one here that thinks it was clearly evident that Floyd's shoulder was down and he had two hands on the ball?
I don't think it was clear. But you know what? There were so many mistakes. And that was just a mess. When's the last time you saw them actually run a play and then the signal from the booth, oh, we want to go back to the play before and review that because he spiked the ball?
No, I don't know that that's what happened. I mean, we don't know when they got the buzz on the pager to review the play. It was very chaotic. I don't have a problem with that play to spike the ball never having taken place. I don't think it ever happened because they were trying to review it as we were trying to hurry up.
What do you mean? They spiked the ball. The refs on the field marked the ball, gave it to the center. Center snapped it. Clausen spiked it. The play, it's too late. You can't go back. Plus, you're not supposed to go back and review a whistled down play anyway, and that happened to us.
Two different topics. We didn't get the... Two different points, and Bram will let you get on in this in a minute. If the booth officials buzzed down to the field before that play was snapped to spike it, and they're trying to stop it, I mean, we don't know the sequence of how that all happened. So I don't have a problem with saying, hey, that spiked ball, that play never happened, and that was whistled dead in effect before it ever took place. But my problem is that the second point you brought up, if they rule it down on contact, it's down on contact. Brammer, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, I was in the car at the time, so I didn't even see any of this and have yet to watch the replay myself. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, it was clear. I'll say this. While listening to them on the radio, they never once even mentioned that Floyd was down. They thought the review was trying to figure out whether there were 12 guys on the field. Now, that just may be
There were 12 guys in the field.
Yeah, they didn't even bring up the possibility that what was being reviewed was that Floyd was down. They just totally assumed he was clearly down, and that's not what was being reviewed. Now, the radio guys are at a disadvantage, obviously, because they're not as in tune with the guys that are doing the TV. But I just found it interesting that those guys, the whole entire time, weren't even mentioning that that's what was being reviewed.
Well, again, whether or not there were 12 guys on the field as we're trying to spike it, I think is a moot point because that play never happened. There weren't 12 guys because the play never took place because the officials had already stopped play to try to review that. But I'm waiting to see somebody with a picture of it. We know that Floyd was clearly trying to lateral the ball. And to me, because you know that's what he's trying to do, it's easy for them to say, well, the ball's coming out. But the shot I saw, two hands are on the ball, his shoulder's on the ground, and then he does that two-handed chest pass to try to lateral it. But he's already down. Let's go back to a previous reviewed call. North Carolina's 3rd-and-7 completion, or 3rd-and-4, whatever it was.
That was a horrible, horrible
call. Yeah, it was, in our benefit. So I guess we can't complain too much, because I thought their kid absolutely caught it, came down 2 feet, then hit the ground, then the ball came out.
I think so, too. We were shocked. I was texting with my daughter, who's at St. Mary's, and we were both saying, this is over. It was such a catch. I don't know what's taking so long. And all of a sudden, they come back and reverse the darn thing. But you know what? I mean, it was those guys messed up a lot of stuff. And in the end, I don't know how you can justify the fact that the guys on the field whistled him down, and it's not supposed to be reviewed. And so it was not reviewed earlier, and then it was reviewed later. So... whatever. Look, here's the theme. We've got to talk about this. We had control of the game. We had control of our own fate, and we let this get away. On the ranked team on the road, and a chance to shut some people up and to get us back into the good graces of the college football world, and we let it slip away. It took me a good 24 hours to get over it. I was grinding my teeth for a full 24 hours.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think the difficult thing is the reason this got away from us is because we're a young football team. I mean, this is what young football teams do. They don't hold on to leads. They don't have the presence and the attitude to just be able to put the game away when you need to put the game away. That's what a veteran team does. And unfortunately, we got a bunch of young guys. Not that North Carolina doesn't. They do too. But, you know, turnovers are going to kill you. Anytime you lose the turnover battle, you're asking for trouble. And it's somewhat amazing that we actually were in the game with 15 seconds to go, even though the turnover ratio was 4-0. So a lot of bad things, but a lot of good things. I mean, it's tough to say that we are not continually improving, even though we ended up losing 29-24.
Brim, in the pregame show, this is exactly what we talked about. You harped on turnovers, and obviously, you know, when you're on the road against a good team, it's just that's going to change the game and turn it around in a hurry. And so, right, you know, you come out, and we're in control of the game. We got the ball to start the second half. You couldn't have scripted it any better to be up. What were we, up 11 with the ball? That's a chance to put the game away. And the throw by Clausen was just a terrible throw. Stared down the receiver the whole way, and it was an easy jump for the linebacker to step in front of it. But, boy, overall, you got to like what Clausen did. You know, you can't erase the turnovers and the mistakes, but you could totally see that this guy is going to be a big-time quarterback. He is a big-time quarterback, and we're going to win big with him, I think.
I think so, too. And as upset as I have been, and the one did, and this did get away from us, there was really a lot to like. The play, I think the game was scripted really well. It was a well-called game by Charlie and the staff. I think anybody who was criticizing that, and I know there's probably was some stuff on the blogs, I think they're nuts. I think the game was really well called. I think the players fought. There's some fight in them right to the very end, and so giving us a chance to win the game even after those mistakes, not going in the tank when you have that ugly pick six, you know, on the road in a hostile crowd, but you come back and you grind out a great drive. To respond to that, this is an entirely different team. Yeah, we still have some youth and we still have some areas that need some help. But Charlie's comments were great after the game when he said, you know, that these guys came down here, they expected to win, and so they're upset. I thought his tone after the game was great. The things he said was great too.
Yeah, there was a lot of like from this game, even though we lost. I mean, it's clearly a tough one to lose. And I think, you know, Notre Dame Nation is so anxious to get back on top of the college football world that, you know, a game like this hurts. I mean, it stings. But having said that, I mean, there is a ton of good that came out of this game. And I thought the play calling was awesome. I mean, I thought we ran it at the right times. I liked the mix. You know, granted, we are a pass-heavy team, and we're going to continue to be that way. But even still, I thought we ran the ball well. I thought Allen saw the holes great. I mean, he hit them hard. He got everything he could get. You know, we averaged 3 yards a carry. It's not great. You'd love to be at 4, but I really thought at the times they were great calls because the ground, you know, the clock was moving. We were moving guys off the line. Again, a couple of penalties here and there, and it pushed it back. It would have been interesting to see if we didn't get those penalties. But I really like the way that we ran our offense. I mean, we punted once all day long. I mean, that alone tells you that we killed ourselves. I mean, if we just didn't turn it over, nobody stops.
Well, I think, Mike, there's a story behind the numbers in the rushing totals. When you factor out the sacks, our yards per rush was actually pretty good. And there was one sequence, I agree with you about Allen. I think he's really started. A few weeks ago, I was wondering, you know, who is this guy, Armando Allen? Is he ever going to do anything? And he's really, really improved over the last few weeks, and we're seeing some of those special qualities that we've heard about. But there was a stretch when, I think it was in the first half, and after a punt, we were pinned deep in our territory. I think there was a personal foul on a punt return it was a personal foul. And so we're backed up, and we come out running the ball. I think we ran it something like 5 straight times and picked up nearly 50 yards We didn't end up scoring on that drive, but we flipped the field position totally around, and it was all with the running game. So, yes, we're a pass-heavy team. That's who our identity is going to be. But I thought all three backs came in and made plays, and, again, we're running it well enough to complement what is a really, really potent passing offense.
I agree, Mike. I think that's true. I mean, the running is the counterpunch. And it's not the main thing. Our pass is the main thing, but we made it work and we balanced out. So, you know, there were times last year where we were so pass heavy, people just pin their ears back and come after us. But we did not do that. And there's a lot to like in the offense. I mean, the turnovers, really give you some agita. But, you know, that first drive, 11 plays, 82 yards. The next time we get the ball, 7 plays and 45 yards. The next time we get the ball, 5 plays, 46 yards. The next time we get the ball, we go 10 plays, 63 yards. These are long drives, multiple first downs. We're gaining yards in 3 or 4 yard clips and then a 20 yard or a 30 yard. This is a potent offense now. At this stage of the game, and we need the defense to come along a little bit.
Yeah, the only thing that I thought was disappointing, and it, it's easy to say this in hindsight, and I know that, you know, Weiss commented on this before the game, but, you know, Brandon Walker hits a 41-yarder that would have been good from 48 easy. I mean, he drilled it. It was right down the middle. We come back. It's 4th and 7, and at that point at the 29-yard line, which makes it a 44-yard kick, 3 points is big, and if we're in a situation where we can't kick from 45 yards in, then you got to do one of two things. You either got to find another place kicker, or otherwise you are not going to go very far in college football. You just cannot.
Where do you think
do
he's
going
to find one? So, I mean, he's been looking. Well, we don't have one.
Well, I would argue that he should have gone ahead and at least tried it. It's 4th and 7. 3 points in that situation would have been huge. Not only that, but it could have turned around this kid's season.
Yeah, I that's a judgment call. I think he's open to some debate there. It was 4th and 7 at the North Carolina 27-yard line, and it would have been nice to get 3 there.
Wait a minute. What he said, his rationale had nothing to do – just going on what he said, nothing to do with the kicker. He felt – we needed a touchdown there in terms of being able to have a lead that – because he didn't think we'd be able to stop them. So, again, those are questions in hindsight. Yeah, sure, it's easy to look back. At the time, I didn't think anything of it. Those are decisions that are really hard to argue. I have no problem with that call.
It's a tough one to call, but, boy, it really could have turned the season around for this kid if he drills that kick.
Yeah, but what if he misses? Then what?
Yeah, but if he misses, it's no different. He was, you know, how's it any different than what he's done before? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just felt like with the kick that he had prior to that. I mean, all of his misses, none of them have been short. They've all been wide, either right or left. And arguably, they've all been wide barely. I mean, it's not like he's – completely missed them. I just thought that it would have been huge. I mean, that would have put the game within 3 points.
Yeah, we would have come down. We would have had a chance to kick a field goal then at the end. And, you know, yes, you could look back on that. I don't think that's a significant play in the game at all, given all the other big plays in the game. But let's talk a little bit about the defense. You know, I think there are some people that feel like, well, the defense, you know, held them to 22, 23 points. Defense was good enough to win. You look at the rushing yards, the gross rushing yards, factoring out the sacks. We rushed for as much as they did, but watching the game, I felt like they were just pounding us, and I felt like the defense never made a stop. So I'm not sure what to make of this defensive effort. I don't think we're very good up front. What do you think? Was it good enough to win if we don't turn the ball over, Ed?
Oh, it was good enough to win if we don't turn the ball over. Frankly, give me one of those turnovers back. Not the dropped kickoff at the end of the first half, but one of those others, and I think we win the game. I really do. Nonetheless, I think what I was feeling the same thing watching our defense. Like, you know, we didn't make plays. The offense made key plays at key times. The defense didn't, and that was a little disappointing. We aren't very good up front. Our front five, six guys, I don't see them – that often making plays. Go ahead, Bram.
You know, I was going to say, I thought the turning point in the game wasn't the interception return for a touchdown, because we took the ball right back and we went right down the field. For me, the turning point in the game was the 3rd and 16, and we gave it up. And that was just huge. I mean, I was thinking to myself, oh, my God, we are going to stuff them here. We are going to get the ball back, and we're going to drive it right down the field and score. And all of a sudden, it's 3rd and 16. And
yeah, that was huge play in the game. But didn't we stop them? I mean, there was a fumble. The kid coughed the ball up. That's the real frustrating part. You would have liked to have seen pressure on the quarterback, a errant throw, better play on the ball. But the reality is he caught it, and we stripped the ball and recovered.
I haven't seen it play yet.
Yeah, oh, Bram, it was so obvious. It was so obvious. I tell you two little things that I got to rant about. One, on that play, Paul McGuire, who's the commentator for ABC, who I just really do not like at all, and he's yappering on, and they're not even watching while there's this scramble for the ball. And one of our kids, I don't know, it was Bruton or somebody, who came up and holding up the ball. And he says in a real condescending way, you don't have it. You don't have it. And then they just ignore it. They don't talk about it. Nobody shows the replay. They never do anything about it. And the second thing, and this turns out to be not just me getting my nose bent out of joint, but really actually affected the game. You remember the throw that Clawson made all the way down to threw it in the end zone and it got batted around? We almost come up with the miraculous catch, right? This was right before the final play. He's running to his right, throws the ball in the end zone, takes a full stride and a half, and is shoved from behind. Goes flying into the sidelines and is totally shaken up for a play. We take a timeout so that he doesn't have to sit out a play, our last timeout, and we don't get a roughing the passer call. They absolutely swallowed their whistle. And that was just awful.
Yeah, terrible. I mean, those plays, a lot of the plays went against us in terms of the calls from the officials. I agree completely. I'm frustrated by it, too. But none of those matter if we protect the ball a little bit better. And, again, Bram, I agree with you. Young team on the road in that situation. I think there is so much to learn from this opportunity, and I think it's gonna make them a little angry and leave a bad taste in their mouth that they can use the rest of the year. And it's going to help shape, I think, the character of this team, not only this year, but hopefully next year as well. So even though we're all disappointed, better days are ahead. And we said 6 games in, we'd know a little bit more about this team and this coaching staff. And I, for one, am very optimistic and think that we've got this thing going in the right direction. And I expect the second half of the season to be outstanding. So we'll talk more about what direction the Irish are headed in after the near miss with North Carolina in a couple days. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. For Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.